Exodus chapter 11, we'll look at the first 10 verses, in fact, it's the whole chapter, and then eventually we will get to Revelation chapter 22. And had I corrected my screen there, the title would be The Lord Notes the Difference. We live in a time when many people have tried to erase distinctions among people, amongst nations, amongst religions. We've heard, and some have even tried to teach us, that men can be women. We've heard, and some have tried to teach us, that one national can live amongst any nation, no borders. We have heard some teach us and try to persuade us that all religions serve the same God. The attempt is made to erase any and all distinctions that would separate people, thoughts, and ideas, as if all distinctions are merely arbitrary and subject to democracy. Do I need to say that again? It's almost as if all of our differences are simply subject to democracy, whims of the people. I hope to convince you this morning that God would have you to know that He does make distinctions. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that He made the woman for the man. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Acts chapter 17, we learn that He sets the boundaries of nations. God draws the borders. In Isaiah 42:8, we learn there is no God but Yahweh. And He will not give His glory to another. He will share it with none other. There is none other God but Yahweh. How do we live these things out in the workforce? Somebody asks you to accept the fact that this man thinks he's a woman. Look, you're entitled to your fairy tales, but I don't have to play along with them. Are we smart enough to realize that bringing people into our country that don't share our values will do nothing but bring our country down and demoralize the values we have? There's a reason why we don't have certain people in leadership at this church. They don't share our values. They don't share our biblical understandings. For if we opened up the pulpit to anyone and everyone that wanted to stand here, you wouldn't know if we were opening Reader's Digest, the Bible, or even, you know, Campfire Today every time you came to church. Are we convinced there is no God but Yahweh? Will you speak up when someone says all roads lead to Rome? Oh, the God of Islam and the God of Judaism, they're the same God. No, they're not. And by the way, the God of Judaism, if He doesn't have a son named Jesus who came to die on the cross, rose from the dead on the third day and coming back, He ain't the same God of the Bible that we preach either. There is no God but Yahweh, and He does make distinctions. Let me go ahead and read chapter 11 to you. It's not very long, it's very short. That way you've got a fuller understanding. Then we'll back up just a couple of chapters and look at a couple of things going on, because I believe it's important for you to know. Plus, it's one of these things that you're going to read this in Exodus and you're not going to think anything about it till you get to Revelation. And when you're about to close your book because you read your Bible through for the year, God's going to bring this up again and you're supposed to say, wait a minute, they're connected? They are. Exodus chapter 11, God says through Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh, upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go from here. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out from here altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even under the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know And that ye there is plural in the King James, that all of you may know, Moses speaks to Pharaoh's court, that you may know that the Lord does put a difference, that he puts a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants, Pharaoh, shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get you out, all of the people that follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. That's Moses. The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all of these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his hand. The Lord sets distinction amongst people. Verse 7. God separates people out. He knows who the Egyptians are, and he knows who the Israelites are, who Israel is. Now that seems very simple, that God recognizes the difference. But I think we forget that. Fear causes us to think and feel and believe many things. Is God going to mistakenly get us when he's aiming at other people? You know, he's aiming at Ted, but he hits Hoss instead. It kind of feels like it sometimes, but that's not the case. God knows the difference. God's able to make a distinction amongst peoples. And if God does, you're wise to do it as well. If you peek back in chapter 8, we're going to go through these really quickly. When the flies came about in verse 22, flies are sent in by Moses through the power of God to persuade Pharaoh to let the people go. However, in chapter 8, verse 22, God says, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. I will separate it in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall this sign be, in chapter 9 and verse 4. When we get to this one, this is going to be the cattle are under the plague that Moses sends. However, in verse 4, the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And chapter 9, verse 26, when it comes time for the hailstorm. In verse 25, the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, broke every tree of the field, only, in verse 26, in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And in chapter 10, in verse 23, one of my favorites. I mean, because we know sometimes it can rain in your front yard and not rain in your backyard. It can rain on this side of the bluff and not that side of the bluff. So, you know, maybe the flies were just, it was just a coincidence, right? Maybe the hail was just a coincidence. Maybe their cattle didn't mingle with ours, and that's why their cattle didn't get sick. No, if any of those thoughts were arisen in any people's minds, chapter 10, verse 23, would erase it. Darkness has come upon the land of Egypt, and it says they saw not one another. This is verse 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. For 72 hours, Egypt was pitch black. Yet there was this little spotlight on the land of Goshen. They went about their life daily as if nothing was wrong, because God had made a distinction between his people and the people of Egypt. What great power must it take to be able to do these things? That I'm going to send flies, and they're going to be all over Egypt, but they're going to avoid this certain place. I'm going to send hail, and it's going to destroy crops everywhere else, but for some reason, that big cloud is just not going to hover over Goshen. I'm going to send a darkness throughout the land for 3 days. Now, rules out eclipses, doesn't it not? Eclipses last at the most about 11 or 12 minutes. This is 3 days. It's so dark that even their candles and their lamps aren't working in Egypt. But in Goshen, there's light. What kind of power must our God have? Do you ever forget that your God is great? Yeah, we do. The right answer is we shouldn't, but we do. That's the source of our whining, our crying, our belly aching, our fears, our doubts. Because we think that God didn't intervene because maybe he couldn't. Or as David said, "You forgot me, Lord." Why didn't God intervene? God's doing something. Look at it, rearrange it. For the water turned to blood, Goshen felt that. They did. Their water turned to blood too. What were they needing to learn? He's God. But then when God separates them out and says, from these plagues forward, it's only going to affect the Egyptians, it's not going to affect you, it underscores to Goshen, but it's also meant to teach Pharaoh he is God. Pharaoh thought he was a god. The people would have thought Pharaoh was a god, but Pharaoh needed to learn there's only one God and he wasn't it. Consider God's great power at Jericho. There were no bulldozers, yet God brought the walls down with just a shout from the people. Consider God's great power in Babylon. He didn't rule only in Jerusalem. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, safe in the midst of the fire. Didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Their ropes were removed. Daniel was safe in the lion's den, though those lions, when given the opportunity to eat people, ate them before they touched the ground. Are those the greatest displays of God's power? Not hardly. God raises his son from the dead on the third day. He rolls back the stone. He strikes the soldiers with fear. And then he takes 11 fearful men, and on the day of Pentecost, gives them a boldness that the likes of Caesar, that the likes of Caiaphas and Annas could not stop. How great is the power of our God? And how great is God's power observed when God makes a distinction within peoples. Boy, I want to run with this so many ways. God specifically in verse 7, I'm back in chapter 11, told his people, or told the people of the court through Moses, that all of you may know that the Lord does put a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. And how is he going to do that? Not a dog is going to bark towards the Israelites. God introduces a concept here called dogs. Now we know he created them in Genesis because he created everything, right? But dogs show up in our scripture. The first time we see dogs is here in Exodus chapter 11. And God says here that dogs are not going to be barking against the people of Israel. Not a tongue wagging. Eventually, I'm going to show you in Revelation chapter 22, the last time we see dogs, they're removed. God's introducing a concept and an idea here that you need to be assured of. And again, as I said, when I look out and see certain people here, I'm like, what's the deal, Lord? I don't know why you drove down to hear a sermon about dogs. When we get through with Revelation 22, you're going to find out there are no dogs in heaven. But if you allow me to use even God's mixture of the metaphor here, every one of you does have dogs in your life that trouble you. That's that incessant person who's constantly downing, demeaning, naysaying in your life that never brings anything up that's positive. Online, they're called Debbie Downers. I don't know what the man version of it is. They're constantly harping. They're constantly barking. They're constantly yelping and yapping. And the little dog in my life's name is Marshall. This dog will never die, and it will never not bark at Luke. Ever since he was introduced into my life, he's not even my dog. He belongs to my brother-in-law. It has been a... Like, Lord, take this dog home. You ask my family. I ain't making this up. It's to the point of pathetic. My joke is, when the alpha male walks in, the beta's going to gripe. Okay, that's just what I'm saying, but I don't know that that's really what's going on. But that little dog just barks and barks and barks. But you know, spiritually, there are dogs in our lives. Sometimes your dogs are your past. We all have a history. And that dog just constantly reminds you of what you've done wrong before. Don't you remember when you did this? Sometimes it comes in the form of a person. You're having a discussion with them. They're not happy with the way it goes. And so they bring your past up right there as if to intimidate the conversation. God says to Moses to tell Pharaoh that whenever I move in this final plague, not a single dog will move his tongue against man or beast in the land of my people. How unusual is it for a dog not to bark? To not bark. I mean, they can see things move that don't really move and they bark. The old adage, they're howling at the moon. What's that going to do, a dog barking at the moon? Well, we're saying we don't know what they're barking at. They're maybe just barking just to bark. It's highly unusual that in an event that is about to happen that a dog would be silent. But again, the concept is this. It is meant to put a distinction between God's people and the people of Egypt, the people of the land. There are those who still want to change our ways of thinking. That your Bible, you don't need to trust all of it. That the earth is really millions of years old and we had death and dying before God created it. Paul says in the book of Romans that death entered in by who? Adam. If there was death and dying before Adam, somebody tell me what happened. Death and dying before sin? Is God's word right, or scientists and nonconformist theologians? In other words, I have very little patience with old earthers. Yeah, but scientists tell us that the earth is millions of years old. My Bible says it's very young. My Bible says death didn't enter in till after Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, death came in, and so I believe literally that the earth is approaching 6,000 years old. That's what the Bible tells me. I've had professors bark, disagree, other pastors disagree. But in our day and age, who would have ever thought that we would be asked to go along with men can be women? In spite of our president trying to right the ship somewhat, there are people fighting back. There are men that want the right to dress like a woman and go into the ladies' restrooms. If y'all ever catch a man in our restroom, you let me know. I'll show you what we're supposed to do to him. And won't be play along with their thought. But what happens is, as Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, we're not to be conformed to the world. And the moment you quit being conformed to the world, dogs are going to begin barking at you. Whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family. I can remember when we moved off to school and God began to reshape some of my thinking, and we specifically chose to unteach our children about Santa. That there's only one person who's making a list. There's only one person who's got everybody's name written down. There's only one person you need to be prepared to stand before based upon the things that you've done. And it's not Santa, it's Jesus. And that caused friction. Even met some of my friends at school. Oh, you're just taking it too far, Brother Luke. I heard a story just recently. This has been repeated again. A little girl found out that there was no Santa. Her first question to her mom was, "You told me Jesus is real. Did you lie to me about that?" I know a young man who has not just completely abandoned the faith, but he walked away from it because he was lied to about Santa and toys, and he don't know if he can trust his mom about Jesus being real. I'm a nonconformist. I'm used to it. I do things my own way. I do things, swim upstream, ask my wife, ask my kids, ask my family. Very seldom. If all of y'all are going one way, most likely I'm going the other way because I think there's no safety in group travels. You know, if all the fishermen are running to one spot, the best thing you can do is go find another spot to fish in. Be not conformed to this world. I don't know that any of y'all are conforming, and that's I know where I'm going with this, but it underscores saying this. They are not going to be happy. The world's not going to be happy. People that aren't following the word are not going to be happy when you do not conform to them, but when rather you let the transformation of Jesus Christ take hold of all of you. All of your fears, all of your beliefs, all of your worries, when you leave it all with Jesus and you're only concerned about pleasing Him, there are going to be dogs in your life. Those little dogs are going to make a lot of noise. And like I said, they're constantly yapping, they're constantly barking, they're constantly irritating, but not in this passage. God shuts them down. Now let's make a quick run to the end. Why didn't God go ahead and shut them down? He's going to. Patience. But notice in this passage, He can. And He does. If you don't believe God can, then there's no sense in us going forward till we get to the point where you believe God can. You've got to believe that our God has all power. And if you don't believe He's got all power, what else could I say to convince you that things will be all right? If you have no one to turn to that can, where will you go? You don't understand something, who do you turn to? Hopefully to Him. It's still one of my fun things with VBS, the science class, because the more I thought about it, the more I got into it, but the more I was like, man, we really mess with these kids. Give them a compass and you give them a flashlight with a magnetic handle. You put them in a box and they're going to turn the light on. It's going to get near the compass. What's going to happen? Compass is not going to work like it's supposed to do. We did it on purpose. Inside the box were the constellations, God's stars always tell you where north is. Always. If you wake up in the morning and you see the north star over there, that's not the south, that's the north. Say, but Brother Luke, my compass says something else. No, where God puts the north star, that is north. God doesn't make mistakes. There's something even bigger at work. Men take their thoughts and they get them near God's word and they try to rearrange where God's word points. Is what man makes greater than what God makes? Now, are compasses useful? Yes. But if you can find the North Star, you don't need a compass. And we were endeavoring to teach the children, you keep looking at Jesus and He'll guide you correctly. But if you get man's ideas next to Jesus, and if you get those dogs that are barking around you to get you to draw you away from Jesus, that's when you're going to start having problems. Maybe your health's barking at you. Maybe it is. You're going to trust Jesus or trust the doctor? Now, the doctors that said eggs are bad for you, now they're good for you again. That cholesterol is a problem, and they've took away people's cholesterol, and they find out you got brain problems when you don't have any cholesterol. Which doctors do we believe? I know a great physician, and he's able. But you've got to believe that. Is he able? Why did we pray for Corley for so long? Because we believed God could, and He did. God is concerned even about your family issues. God can. He did in this passage. He shut the barking dog's tongues down against the people. And it's in the nature of a dog to bark. It's in the nature when an animal comes by that it's not familiar with to bark. And as the people of Israel are girding their loins together as they head out on their trek, there is not a dog one making a sound against God's people. But that wasn't for God's people to learn from. That was to teach them. But while we're listening to this, let's learn from this. God is going to deliver His people from the bondage of Egypt, and He is going to do it in such a way that while there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth throughout every single household in Egypt, there will not be one sound coming out of Goshen. Learn from the silence. The older I get, the more I like it. I like silence. My email this week, you know, some people, y'all really keyed in on that. Some people are like, man, you really brought me to heaven with that, because we're all like, how great it will be to sit on the front porch of heaven, ponder God's creation. There are no timetables. There are no interruptions. There are no skeeters to bug you. You can just sit there and view God's new heaven and new earth in awe and wonder, silently. Nothing to pester you, nothing to bother you. But then sometimes when we're alone with ourselves, we've got our own inside dogs barking. And I ain't talking about your little four-footed furry friends. I'm talking about your own thoughts and ideas that are distracting you, that are trying to keep you from seeing what God is doing. Learn from the silence. The dogs are put to silence. They're still. God says, I want Egypt to know that I know who my people are and that I can make the dogs observe this. God draws His people out in the midst of this silence. He is bringing forth His plan of redemption. He is saving His people. And He's doing it silently. When we want action, we want it to happen now. When we're praying to God and we want God to move, we want thunder and lightning to show up. God does it silently in Egypt so that Egypt would know who His people are. What if life isn't about you at all? What if your life is all about God using you to teach other people around you? Would you still like your life? It's not what I signed up when I came into the world for, right? If I'm not mistaken, you didn't have a choice what you signed up for when you came into this world. You didn't choose your hair color or however much or lack of it. You didn't choose your skin color. You didn't choose your eye color. You didn't choose your parents. So let's go back and ask a bigger question. Why am I even here then? The biblical answer is to serve the Lord. But what if the world here is not for you to grab and not for you to obtain? But what if the Lord sent you here simply as a flow through of His grace, a flow through of His power to reach other people? How many kids in high school are being taught this their senior year? You know, you're thinking about going to college, getting a degree, and making lots of money. What if God says, not so fast. I'm going to keep you poor. I'm going to keep you humble, but I'm going to use you to reach other people. I'll go to college, God. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the rich young ruler. How many of you would give away all that you had, sell it all, and pack up and follow Jesus? Especially now that some of you have retired. Give it all away, sell it all, and follow Jesus. Look with me in Revelation chapter 22 and give you a little bit better sense of where I'm headed with this. I think many of you have caught on, but let's go ahead and look at Revelation 22. And by the way, this is the basis, and I'm joking, but I'm not when I say there are no dogs in heaven, because I like to mess with people, because, man, is my dog going to be in heaven? Probably not. Okay, dogs don't have souls. Heaven's not going to be anything less than what you needed to be. God's going to make sure of that for you. I don't think if, you know, some of you, if there are no crawfish in heaven, you really want to spend eternity in hell? But watch this. You're reading through your Bible. You've gone all the way from Exodus. You get to Revelation. You get to chapter 22, and you get to verse 15. Now, prior to this, there is a new heavens and a new earth. There is a new Jerusalem that has come down. There are all kinds of amazing things that are found in this new heavenly city, but there are things that will not be there. Let's back up to verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie. Notice what is not in the new city, dogs. Some of you, you've already been taught to, you've already researched this, you've already studied. He ain't talking about dogs there, Brother Luke. He's talking about people that are naysayers. Same thing. The little yapping dog, that will be a distinction between Israel and Egypt, is not going to be allowed into the new city. In heaven, you will face no opposition. I'm going to say that again. In heaven, you're going to face no opposition. You're going to face no naysayers. You're not going to have someone constantly trying to lead you astray to keep you from absorbing and blessing in the goodness of God. There will be nothing there to distract you from God and His new creation. Could be a boss nagging on you. Could be a spouse nagging at you. Pastors see a lot, hear a lot. Just as there are other things that hit close to home, I'm well aware of how close to home I'm hitting when I say some of these things. I can take you to an individual right now. The reason why they're looking forward to heaven is so that they will not be near their spouse. Some of you are like, wow. Yeah, it's like water and oil. Like fire and ice. Thunder and lightning. You know what I would rather see? Before either one of them gets to heaven, that God does a work in both of them's heart. And they fall so much in love that when one of them goes to heaven first, they're jealous that they don't get to go with them. Can God do that? I've got to believe it or go home. I've got to believe it or go home. If I can't preach that God can save even marriages, what am I doing? Can our God do that? Can God help Serenity with her baby? Yes. Outside the new city, there will be no dogs, and the dogs are grouped in with sorcerers. Sorcerers, in street language, are druggies. This is very important. What is rising in our day and time right now? Drugs. Drugs induce people into, let's just plain English, stupefied states. And stupefied states open you spiritually up to demonic impressions at the least. Will not be in heaven. Whoremongers, those who are sexually immoral, but when you read from Exodus to Revelation, you find out he's not just talking about people who live sexually illicit lives, he's also talking about people who are spiritually immoral there. They try to serve all kinds of gods and deities and religions at one time, and so spiritually they are immoral. Murderers. What does Jesus say they are? They're haters. Idolaters, surely you know that well enough without needing much elaboration there. And idols can be pictures of your family members. Idols can be certain totems that you've gotten from someplace. Liars. All liars will be excluded. Who's the big liar in the Bible? Satan. Satan will be excluded from where? God's new city. There is coming a time where there will be no one around you to seek to trouble you, to seek to keep you from following God's word, to try to lead you into believing things that are error, to get you to not enjoy your joy that is in God. There is coming a time when once again, God will silence all dogs. He will, but He hasn't yet. So how are you going to engage in life in between? Are you going to give up? Are you willing to tolerate being called simple-minded? Are you willing to be called sheeple? And by the way, when they call you that, they're not really intending to compliment you. Are you willing to risk losing your job? Are you willing to risk offending the neighbor in the pew next to you because you sing so loud you can't help it, but you want God to hear because you've got joy in your heart for Him? Can I long for the day when the drums aren't the loudest thing in anybody's church, but the voices of the people are so loud that the drummer has to wear earplugs? You know what I'm talking about. Can we not long for that? When the sound of the voices of so many are like thunderous waters, Revelation tells us. Where the musical instrument, Dee Dee's over there playing her heart out, and the sound of the voices just so drown it out because they're being raised up. Yeah, I can't sing loud next to them, though my voice isn't good. I didn't know it was a requirement for you to have a good voice to sing loud to the Lord. Are you going to listen to those dogs and miss your joy this side of heaven? I told you already, I'm not sure what the point of all this is. I know part of me will say, don't stop. Encourage you to keep going. But I don't know what... I almost feel like this is for somebody specific and I don't know who it is because the Lord didn't say, tell them. But then when I see so many different faces that I'm not used to seeing here, I'm like... And then some of you wondering, where's all this trouble? Well, maybe you don't have any trouble because you work in a completely Christian environment. But I don't buy that as well, because even in a Christian environment, when you stand for the truth, you're going to make waves. You call up the church and you're abortion-minded, I'm not going to tell you which drugs are safe to use and which drugs are not safe. I'm going to tell you killing your baby is wrong. That's what you need to know. I will make waves. I have. Are you willing to stand for what is... If there are no waves in your life, Peter would say, are you living holy? We're going to get there on Sunday nights. Peter says, if you don't have any waves in your life, there's a question mark over you. Are you living holy? Because even amongst Christian people, there's going to be some that are naysayers. Yeah, we can't do that. We might offend people. No dogs barking in the New Jerusalem. Obviously, that means there will be no media talking heads. Maybe that's why you're so down, because of who you're listening to. I know a guy, when I get to the gym, I know it already, but he gets so worked up over what he sees on the news. I'll talk with him a little while, and then I'm like, bro... Number one, I'm at the gym. Y'all know my feelings about this. I don't go to the gym to talk to you. I go to the gym to work out. I got an allotted amount of time. If the Lord wants to interrupt it, the Lord can interrupt it, certainly. But just to go down there and gab, you know, show up there at 7 o'clock. They got a table. You can sit out, drink coffee, and talk to all the people you want to. But he's going to bring something about the news. Like, and he says his blood pressure is good. And I'm like, how? He is so worked up by what the media is saying, because the media is trying to go after how you think. Because if they can get you upset, if they can get you angry, they'd steal your joy. And before long, you're not happy And God's saying, but I've been giving you bountiful blessings all day long. Where's your joy? You've been listening to the dogs. But Revelation, I'm looking forward to the day when there are no dogs. When they're not allowed in the city. And by the way, I'm not against dogs. To me, there's probably nothing much sweeter than the sound of a hound when he bays something. That, just coming through the woods, that's a pretty sound. But there will be none of the opposition in heaven. What did God tell Pharaoh? I know my people. The people didn't need to know that. God was telling Pharaoh. He was telling the people of the world, I know my people. And there's coming a day when I'm putting a distinction between you and them, and you will not be able to wag your tongue against my people. Can I say it this way? Don't give up on God or life. You're stressed out, you're stretched out, you're flattened out, you're pancaked out, your emotions have just flattened out. Don't quit. Our God's powerful. Our God is able, our God can, and He's going to. He's got a reason why He hasn't yet, but He's going to. Don't quit the race. Don't stop. If you never do, if you need something to do on a Saturday afternoon in early summer, you need to go down and watch the swimmers at the rec races and watch these little bitty kids jump in the water. It's going to take them forever to cross the length of the pool. Forever. And I'm trying to remember what it would have been like to be a kid and look. I mean, how long that pool must look when you're a little bitty kid. And that little kid be over there to swim three laps, grab the rope, get a big breath. And they keep going and everybody's cheering them on, going until they get to the finish line. Oh, it's cool when we're watching little kids. Adults, not so much, right? New thought popped into my head in Hebrews chapter 12. He writes, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, I want you to picture the arena, and you're running a race, and there's Abraham saying, don't quit, Hoss. There's Isaac saying, Chad, don't give up. There's Jacob up there. God gave him a new name. He took him from being a deceiver to being the blessed one. And Jacob saying, you wrestle with him until you get your blessing. And we're surrounded by family members. We're surrounded by godly preachers that kept the faith till they crossed the line. All the saints of the ages are surrounded saying, don't quit the race. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus and run, run, run. And I can hear it, but I'm tired. You don't know my circumstances. They're more than equipped to tell you about circumstances. Some of them had their heads sawed off. Some of them were burned at the stake. Some of them were starved to death. Some of them were wrapped in animal skins, thrown into the arena and eaten by wild animals. Don't look at my easy life. Talk to them. And they're the ones saying, don't you give up. Listen, the dogs are going to come to an end. That's what Revelation 22 gives us a hope about. They're going to come to an end. But don't make a mistake for the thinking God's inaction is a lack of power. Our God can. He gave it when Daniel needed it. He gave it when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed it. He kept John alive till he showed him great things that none of the other apostles got to see. God's able. And I'll say it to you one more time. I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but God's able in your life. Don't quit. I mean, after all, if Nancy Pelosi can do insider trading, the rest of us can, right? I read the news. How can a person making $145,000 a year just happen to know all the secret tricks that the little dude that owns all the grocery stores doesn't even know how to do? Guess what? When we get to heaven, the faithful are all going to be wealthy. And those who sought the earth's treasures, they're going to be bankrupt. Why do you want what they want? Why do you want Egypt? Why do you listen to the dogs? They're not going to be allowed in. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If the Prince of Peace is not your King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Savior, you need to know this, you're going to be cut off, cast out, and will have no entrance into the kingdom of heaven. If He is your Prince of Peace and He's your King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Savior, you know He's got great power. He hasn't chosen to intervene yet. Why are you giving up on Him? Why are you giving up on Him? Just because He didn't do it for you in your timing? Or can you keep your eyes on the prize? I'm across the line. He's going to be waiting. And I get to hear, well done. But then also, once you cross the line, no dogs in heaven. Disney wouldn't like me about right now, would they? Disney said all dogs go to heaven. I'm grateful there'll be no dogs in heaven. As you bow your heads, I'm going to say it one more time. I've got to believe that somewhere amongst here, there's somebody in here. You're on that verge of just not completing your race because the dogs have torn you down. Even as you were listening, you were thinking, man, if God would just do that in my life right now, if He had shut the dogs down, I'm telling you, He's going to. Jesus said He would be crucified and raised up 3 days later. They crucified Him. He came back from the dead 3 days later. He is able. Don't give up. Can I plead with you even more? Don't yield to the dogs. Find someone who is of great faith or at least greater faith than you and ask them to be your cheerleader. Ask them to come alongside of you. Maybe ask them to take the dogs outside. But don't give up. Sometimes I remind you of our hymn writer, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Can I apply that to this? When you get your gaze and reflection upon Jesus, the dogs will lose their influence. Even your ears will begin to tune them out and in place sing and shout the joy of the Lord.